Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it's officially the spookiest month of the year. October 5th is the date. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. We're coming at you with the Monday Night Tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show live here on MegaPowersRadio.com. If this is your first time joining us here on the Raw post-show, we call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for a reason, because all throughout this night we are inviting you, the listeners, to participate in what we're talking about, either giving us topics or sending us questions, whatever you got to submit, and a number of ways. I'll tell you all about those, but first, let me tell you how you can support the Raw Post Show and Mega Powers Radio. The number one way is by finding us on Patreon, where you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. Help us keep things running here at Mega Powers Radio Studios to bring you all the cool shows we got, like the Raw Post Show, the All Talk Show, the post shows we've been doing for a lot of the WWE events lately. Tony's been taking charge on getting some of those going. We're bringing you all types of cool content, but it is very expensive to keep the boards running here. We could use your help. So please go to Patreon, search for Mega Powers Radio, and give generously. Of course, you can join us live here every single Monday following Raw, and subscribe to us on all the places we are: iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and links to all those can easily be found at our archive home on sparkoutmoment.com. Rate us, review us, make us look cool to other people browsing and seeing us there, and invite all your friends to listen to as well, because more people here, more fun we can have. All right, folks, if at any time during the show you got something you want to input, like I said, you got a comment, you got a question, whatever is on your mind, really, we're pretty open-minded here. We go in some wacky directions. Drop it on any of the following means. You can call in, area code 760-512-7247 is the number one way to get yourself into the show here. You can also join us via Skype. Hit the little Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page on the Blog Talk Radio page. That'll get you in that way. You can also go into the chat room if you are not a big fan of having your voice. Shout outs to the folks who are here early. We got Kalen Ferris, Grapple This Productions, Wazili, Mysticata, and Happy Pope. Oh wow, we got a lot of friends here tonight. Thank you all y'all for coming in and showing up. If you don't like those means, we got Twitter at Raw Post Show, on Facebook, our official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Lots of ways. Take advantage of those. We want to know what y'all got to say. But in the meantime, we're gonna get started with the hosts. My name is Mike Payton. I am the station director here at Mega Powers Radio, and I will be hosting tonight's show. With me, Mr. Tony Mango, the lead man of SmartOutMoment.com, the Smack Talk podcast, and a lot of those special event post shows you've been having here at Mega Powers Radio lately. Tony, what's shaking, dude?
Hold on, let me yawn real quick.
Are you watching that? You watching that viral video that's been going around? That's just like 2 minutes of yawning.
No, but that seems a little bit more interesting than what happened tonight. Fuck.
Wow. Also with us is Mr. Stephen Holwego.
Well, I could have understood what he meant by that from the beginning of that 10 o'clock hour, but overall the show hasn't been that bad at all, and hell of a strong ending.
Very interesting. Well, I can't wait to get to talking about this. As I said, we want to know what you guys out there got to say. Participate via those means. I'll pull a few things out of the chat room here. Let's see. Mysticata saying the New Day looking stronger than Big E's package. Kalen Ferris following up by saying the New Day looking stronger than Drew's fantasy team. Well, that isn't too hard. Wazili putting out his sign of the night, Heyman sweats butter.
I like it. I approve.
He does have a really greasy look to him when he starts like convulsing and stuff like that.
Something strange. Now, do we know it's butter or margarine?
He is Jewish. We got to keep that in mind. I don't know if that has some type of, you know, taste. Maybe it's parquet.
Maybe it's, I can't believe it's not butter.
Tell me this isn't butter. To Booker T should freaking sell.
Tell Can you imagine Heyman cutting the promo about I can't believe it's not butter, though, the way that he does the Brock Lesnar?
Oh my god, imagine him cutting a promo for anything. Just give him a show. Yo, remember Don West? Like, remember he, like, the day that we found out that he did all these videos before being a TNA announcer where he sold, like, baseball cards and Beanie Babies and shit?
It's just like, yeah, look, you might not recognize everybody on this baseball team. This guy, I don't even think he played, but you get his card. It's just money. Come on.
Well, we got some things out in the chat room, but I want to ask you gentlemen here, what is the number one thing you took away from tonight's Raw? And you in the chat room could drop that as well, and I'll read it a little bit later. But Tony, I know you're the one who probably has the most to say. So what'd you take away tonight?
I have the least to say. I thought that this episode was a massive bore and nothing but a giant series of commercials, and then they went to commercial breaks. Not the worst episode ever. The matches weren't the worst ever or anything like that. I don't have anything that I wrote down as like my, you know, worst for the categories of the Smart Cat Moment Awards at the end of the year, but I had a feeling this was going to be a waste of an episode, and I feel like it was.
Wayo, how do you take away from this tonight's episode of Raw?
I can agree there was a lot of mediocre shit on tonight's card, but overall it had just enough where I can say I didn't waste my 3 hours. What was good was really good. Unfortunately, what was bad was really fucking bad. As I mentioned earlier, if I had to take one thing away from it is, holy New Day, what the hell? They just did that out of nowhere. They look strong as hell tonight.
Yeah, let's not waste any time. Let's make that our main topic tonight. I'm going to pull a comment out of here from the chat room, Wazili, saying, I'm guessing Cena won the open challenge and New Day did some annoying shit. I turned it off when they dragged Ziggler out. Big mistake, fella. You're pretty off. I mean, you're kind of on, but it was a lot more significant than that, I would say. So John Cena is out giving his United States Open Challenge, and he's being treated as a, you know, true homecoming welcome from Boston. It's funny because I think Boston is one of the top cities that actually hates John Cena whenever he's there. Guy can never catch a break, even in his hometown.
Yeah, because they don't want to be the guys responsible for fucking housing that guy.
Okay, fair point.
Like, he's from West Newbury, not Boston.
He's from three exits down 95. Yeah. That made them feel a little bit better when he said that. Well, at first, it seems like it's going to be Dolph Ziggler coming out to answer it, but his music plays for a good 40 seconds, and we never see Dolph Ziggler. Finally, we see the New Day coming out dragging Dolph Ziggler, and oh snap, New Day's here, and they mean business. In fact, they're saying to John Cena, do you take us serious now, John? Of course, they still make some jokes, but eventually we find out Big E is our contender, and we really don't get too much of a match here, but we have New Day eventually getting kicked out, the other two members. John Cena hits the AA for the victory. And New Day, sore losers, attacks John Cena at the end. Dolph Ziggler comes down to try to help. New Day cleverly manages to duck a super kick from Dolph Ziggler. So Dolph Ziggler kicks John Cena himself. Wonder if we're going to see something play up from that down the line. New Day manages to beat down both Cena and Dolph Ziggler at that point. The Dudley Boys come down. They cause a small bit of trouble, but New Day ultimately prevails, knocking down the Dudley Boys as well. And Raw goes off the air with the New Day standing tall and not even necessarily being a bunch of jokers. They actually just went there and kicked some ass. Very impressive from the New Day, I have to say, showing they are a lot more than just a joke. Tony, I know you've been one of the people most excited for the evolution of the New Day. You have to at least say that this is an awesome chapter, and I think truly extended a lot of the New Day's potential careers with this.
I'm not going to ignore one grievance about it, that it's typical, you know, John Cena wins, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't expect Big E to win, and I kind of don't think that he's the right person to hold that title. But still, that's a little bit annoying. Overall, this was the most entertaining part of the entire night for me. And that's usually the total opposite. I mean, when we get down to the final part of the night, that's normally when it's time to check out and I don't care. And it's kind of what I assumed we were going to get, the Seth Rollins tag match, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That usually is in that main event spot. And the fact that they switched this up made it so much better because, man, this 2.5 hours of this show, I was not into. And the New Day came out and I was just like, oh, please, if anybody's going to save this, it's going to be the New Day. And they did it as best as they could. I mean, they had a decent match. They did something different. And they brought up some kind of a new storyline with this whole Dolph Ziggler thing. So in one segment, they were able to do more than what I think the majority of the whole rest of the show was able to accomplish. And it just goes to prove New Day fucking rocks. You got to praise them. They're able to do beatdowns and funny segments.
You know, so could John Cena.
When was he funny? 2004?
No. Like, he made,
you know. He said poop once, right?
Yeah. She said JBL was poopy.
Yeah. Good old,
JBL is poopy. You listen to one commentary lately? Total poopy.
He's about as checked out as I am. Even complimented Byron Saxton tonight.
He's not even like into it enough to like keep insulting Byron Saxton now. He's just like,
no. Byron said something, I don't remember what he said because he's Byron Saxton and who pays attention. And it was about like a 5-second silence, and then JBL was just kind of like, oh, good point, Byron. Byron's probably like, oh my god, oh my god, guys.
It's like he's got a fist bump from him practically.
Yeah. He got a verbal fist bump. They're best buds now.
So, am I the only one that was a little disappointed that when they came out, I was kind of expecting them to introduce Tong Po?
You thought Rusev would get the shot?
Yeah, considering the segment that happened right before it.
I thought that was like a guarantee that he wouldn't get the shot, actually.
You wouldn't think he would at least try?
No.
He's not going to at least answer an open challenge? I mean, why wouldn't he do that if it's an open challenge?
Because WWE doesn't follow logic, and he cut a promo about how he wants to have gold, so of course he wouldn't challenge for an open shot at gold.
Hmm. No, I think that has to go. What if he goes after Sheamus' Money in the Bank briefcase?
Tell you what, I'd rather have Rusev as Mr. Money in the Bank than Sheamus.
What if this prophecy comes true? What if at WrestleMania it's Rusev leaving with the world title?
Well, Dane will be happy.
Oh my god, the Snapchats from Dane. It'd be absolutely amazing. Wago, we haven't heard you chime in too much on this. How are you feeling after seeing the big evolution of New Day tonight?
I think it's going to be a one-time thing and they're going to go back to their normal roles after this. But it was nice to see them give these guys the opportunity because they deserve it. They've been knocking it out the park every week, and sometimes they might stagger, but they normally pick it back up in some respect. And tonight was just an example of that. Big E and John Cena had a solid match up until it all went chaotic. And I thought it was cool how they just dragged Dolph Ziggler's lifeless carcass like to the ring with them.
He sold that lifelessness very well.
Yeah, I'm just like, yep, they're heels. Awesome.
Tonight they were heels.
They got a mean streak to them, which I think they've needed. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that as they go into their match with Dudley Boys, because I think at this point with the feud between the Dudleys and the New Day, it's going to get to the point where the blow-off or it's a tables match. So that bit of a mean streak's going to help it.
Especially if they're trying to make it last until TLC.
Shit, I could see these guys feuding for the next 6 months.
Oh, hey, Awesome Piano Man's in the chat room. Good to see Awesome Piano Man, good friend of the show. One of our supporters on Patreon. So definitely shout-outs to Awesome Piano Man. All of you should be following in his footsteps by supporting Mega Powers Radio, Smart Out Moment, all the other projects on Patreon.
Did you hear that enthusiasm in Payton's voice? That could be your name in his voice if you just donated a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, if you hear me saying, Wazili, Silent One, the Doom. No. Awesome Piano Man.
Woo!
Or is it Awesome Piano Man?
I'm not doing this.
Who knows? Maybe you'll become awesome Wind of Doom.
Oh, boy. So we had our opening segment tonight was Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out. Got Brock Lesnar under contract. Might as well make use of him once in a while. Having come out, and it wasn't just to, you know, stand there while Paul Heyman talked, though he did do that for a while. Not until after. I'd be remiss if I forgot to mention this. His pyro botched again. This has been a running theme. We've been making jokes about this, but Brock Lesnar comes out. They go for the big wide camera angle when he's doing his Brock Lesnar guy pose.
His Brock Lesnar guy pose? Yeah. I'm pretty sure the pose isn't about the guy who's posing from the pose.
Well, that's how it's signified.
You need to do some kind of a pose. How about you do about that pose that the guy does based off of the thing that I do?
It's great. Well, okay. Well, he's doing that. The camera goes wide to show the pyro that usually goes off there. It doesn't go off, so I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is just one of those nights where they're not doing pyro. But then he jumps up out of the ring, and it does the Bobby Lashley pyro. The fuck?
I think they're just trying to keep you guessing at this point.
I think they're trying to keep Brock guessing. I think they're, like, honestly trying to play a rib on Brock Lesnar to try to get him to jump, to see if you could possibly make Brock Lesnar jump. I don't think they've been successful yet.
And the one that went up... Oh, sorry, go on.
Okay. That's not the only little snafu we had with the production tonight. There was that one point with Natalya when she came out where they panned away from her and she was like, you know, doing the whole like, oh, I'm going to pose around the ropes kind of thing. And then they kind of must have realized that they had a shot of like nothing. So then they cut to like the stage and then went like, oh, fuck, that's not Natalya.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So I don't know, we've been having some issues with this production team lately. We had some stuff we mentioned at Madison Square Garden, some stuff with TakeOver. Maybe there are like some interns that don't know what the fuck they're doing and one of them's working pyro.
Well, it all goes under Kevin Dunn. How's that wishing diverticulitis on him going?
I'm working on it, but his teeth keep getting in the way.
Okay. You're terrible people.
Brock is interrupted by the Big Show coming out and actually extends his hand, says Brock Lesnar is a beast and the better man won that night. However, Brock Lesnar's having none of that. He walks around Big Show and goes to walk off. Big Show offended. I mean, Brock Lesnar's a dick. The guy's coming out here and trying to like, you know, give you props. But instead, he walks off. Big Show tells Brock Lesnar that he's arrogant and that he hopes that he loses to The Undertaker again. Ooh. Brock Lesnar was not happy to hear that from him. Brock re-enters the ring, gives Big Show a belly-to-belly overhead suplex, which just absolutely fucking amazed me. And then an F5, picking him up on his shoulders like he was weightless. I don't care how many times you see that. That's just a basic feat, the way that Brock Lesnar can carry around Big Show. I know we saw Cesaro lift up Big Show and throw him over the ropes, and that was cool, but it was not as fluid and looked as simple as when Brock Lesnar does it, both when he did it in 2004 and when he does it today. Tony, I know you're not happy about all these commercials and shit we had, but what did you think about this opening segment?
If anybody didn't listen to our Madison Square Garden review, my biggest problem with that was that I felt like the entire thing was just a bunch of recaps and repeats of what we've seen before. And we started off the night with the same Paul Heyman promo that we've been getting. I'm honestly getting tired of his promos if this is all he's going to do, because it's nothing different now. I mean, it's Brock Lesnar has beaten The Undertaker. Undertaker's a strong opponent, but he's going to win again and go to hell. I've heard it a bunch of times now. I don't need to hear it again. And I know that they feel like they need to advertise stuff every week like that, but, you know, I've already heard this for the past month. The next 3 weeks, if we're going to have a Paul Heyman promo every week that says the same thing, I'm going to just not even bother listening to it because I don't need to. There's no change. There's no, like, and here's another bit of information that you don't know, blah, blah, blah.
So let me ask you, is this a problem of being babyface now?
No. I don't think it's a babyface thing, because Brock Lesnar as a babyface or a heel is basically the same character. I think the issue is just that they don't want to put the effort into things, and that's because that's an overarching problem with WWE. We've seen the Ziggler-Rusev thing just doesn't end. The Intercontinental title triple threat was like a four-month thing that didn't really have anything really behind it other than that it hadn't happened yet. We've got the Randy Orton and Sheamus feud that just kept going on, and that didn't have strong footing. Now we even have the New Day and Dudley Boys, where this is going to be their third tag team title defense that isn't a tables match, because they just don't really want to do anything different. And I think that when Paul Heyman goes out there and they tell him, you know, you got to cut a promo advertising Hell in a Cell, he's got his list of his outline that he wants to talk about, and it's the same thing each and every week. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's an issue of like, we need the Undertaker here to kind of like give somebody a little bit of leeway, and he can do part of the promotion. It's just all on Paul Heyman. You can't expect him to do everything. Or maybe it's just WWE doesn't want to pay Lesnar that extra little bit of money to do something different. I don't know.
So we're passing 11:30 here. About time to open up the phone lines. I'm going to hold off for just a minute. I want to continue the conversation on this, and we're going to open up the phone lines. So anyone on the phone lines, please wait patiently. We're going to get you on in just a second here. I want to pull a few questions out of the chat room here. Awesome Piano Man saying, does anyone feel like there's a big creative problem? I think Tony does.
A little bit.
Grapple this productions, but honestly, is the Heyman promo as bad as the Divas on the mic?
No, but that doesn't justify it still. Like, you know, you can give me a shitty meal and the next day give me an even worse one. It doesn't make the other one good. Just makes it better in comparison.
Mm-hmm. Creep is under radar with my favorite question here. Do you think it was more impressive than Ken Patera's feats of strength? Talking about Brock Lesnar lift around Big Show. I appreciate the shout out to Ken Patera. Have we ever talked about Ken Patera on any of our other shows?
I don't think so.
I think it's time we do Superstar Stores Kid Patera.
I don't know. If we're talking about feats of strength, we got to do Danny Hodge first. Oh. Got a hell of a grip.
Yeah, we got to talk about his handshake.
I heard he broke a pair of pliers in one hand once.
Oh, shit. And I heard he crushed an apple with his hand, too.
Yeah, what did Patera do with that apple, huh?
I don't know, but I remember watching a video where he stopped a car with his legs. That was pretty cool. All right, Waco, you're the MMA guy here. So, what are you thinking about Brock Lesnar's booking here? Tony's not happy with it. What do you think about it?
Well, I can't say they've done anything wrong. Wow.
Tell him, Waco.
I'm so glad you laughed at that too, because I was trying not to.
Was it that weird?
Yeah, it was.
I had my Google moment.
Wow. I wish that Hawk and Animal used to do that. That would have been fantastic.
Wow, what a rush. shit, where was I with this?
You were with Well?
Well, Brock Lesnar doesn't look weak, so I can't argue on that standpoint, but what's building to Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar? They're not really going at it backwards and forwards. It's two guys on one side of the argument trying to build this feud, and it just doesn't work.
Maybe Undertaker's embarrassed about that haircut.
Shit, maybe. Or maybe, like, he's getting waxed still because it's got all that fucking peach fuzz all over him.
Oh, gross.
Look, it was a solid promo, but at the end of the day, if it's the same thing week in and week out, it becomes one and the same. They all merge together, kind of like how Bray Wyatt did for a while. So, shit, we need Undertaker here to make this feud worthwhile.
Oh, indeed. We're going to open up the phone lines now. We got a few people here who have been waiting patiently. We appreciate y'all. Anyone out there, if you are listening and you want to have your voice heard on the most interactive post-raw experience available, pick up that phone and dial area code 760-512-7257. 1-800-327-4747. Still plenty of time to get all callers on the show. So if you call, wait in line patiently. We promise we will find time to get you on the show here. And of course, the chat room is blazing tonight. Lots of cool folks in there. Shout outs again to everyone there. Awesome Piano Man, Kalen Ferris, Creepers on the Radar, Grapple This Productions, Mysticata, Mono Apex, and Wazili, and a number of guests. If you are listening and you have not registered, go ahead and do that with Blog Talk Radio. Scroll on down to the chat room down there. There's a whole other set of a conversation going on with lots of cool cats. Definitely want to be involved with that. Bring it on. Our first caller from tonight. This one's from a restricted area code. I don't know if I trust this. Let's see what's going on here. Who's calling?
Parts unknown?
Yeah, someone's calling us from numbers unknown. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, boys.
Who is this?
You thought you tried to get rid of me, did you?
Get rid of who?
Huh?
Oh, shit, that window.
Who are you?
Who is this?
Yeah, who is this?
Well, I'm going to tell you who this is.
All right hurry up, window liquor.
Who is this?
This
is the Taco Bell?
You guys fought, you pulled the wolves.
Oh shit, it's Jump to Jeff Father.
A few months ago. But you know something?
You know something, Motley Cruz?
Jeff not John does not like being kicked off of Mega Powers Radio. So I'm going to tell you.
Uh-oh, retard alert. Retard alert, class.
So I'm going to tell you what I really think of you.
You used
my friend, JD, because you guys... And you know what? Shut up! No sound bite. No laughter.
All right. Hold on. No. I got an idea here. You're mentioning someone else who I think we also have on the line here. So why don't we just go ahead and bring them on? 412. Is this the fake JD? JD? Okay.
You know what?
I guess not. Never mind that. All right. What do you got to say?
Well, you know what you think? You know what you did to my real friend, JD. You let the fake JD take over the show. And in doing so, you threatened you trying to make sure that JD would not be on the show anymore. So what you guys did at your time was use the fake JD, and you guys, whoever you did, you must have used a recorder or something, and you hired Cliff Weston, okay? You guys hired Cliff Weston.
Yes,
and you think you all could get away with it. But guess what?
What?
Me and JD, we do not cut it.
Surprise, motherfucker.
I'm pretty sure we got away with it.
No, surprise, motherfucker.
Did you get that retail? I'm going to show you all later.
You tried over and over again to make sure my buddy JD would not be the real JD. So whatever you did, so callers from 412, you told your fake investigator Cliff Clapton, and you said both of the JDs got canned, so that the fake JD to stay on.
Yep.
Did you do it?
Hey, yep.
How dare you insult the confidence of Cliff Clefton, fake investigator?
He's one of the most highly respected investigators in the country.
He becomes highly regarded from Phil Stevenson.
Hey, you know how long it took us to make that name up?
The fake... Clefton!
Who let the hyena loose?
Clefton is the fake JD.
What?
You motherfuckers, Cliff Clefton was the fake JD all this time, and all of a sudden, you guys just forgot about me. Yeah, but guess what? Me and JD, we're doing fine on our own, and
good.
We've got our own radio show now this month, every Monday afternoon. Me, JD, and JD are on the Talk Do Radio.
JD, and JD.
All you guys would attempt to do is badger and belittle the real JD, tricking, thinking that he was the fake JD. Now let me finish, and you all quiet, because what I say is this: you guys think you're crazy. Well, guess what?
Oh, holy shit!
What?
Whoa! Oh my God. Whoa! Hold on! Did you hear that?
No.
He's no. Dying. No way.
No way.
Oh my God. No freaking way.
Time cow.
Oh my God. Are you?
Where
have
you been?
Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, it's so good to see you, buddy.
Time cow's alive.
Holy shit. Where have you been all this time?
Oh, cow.
My God, he came back.
I did not. And you guys accused me of killing him? Well, guess what? I still did not do it. I'm innocent.
Uh-oh, retard alert. Retard alert, class.
All right, well.
Well, you know what? I hope you guys enjoy your fun. But for now, I hope you guys enjoy your fun. But you know what?
Hmm?
You guys will never have an afternoon show like me and JD ever.
No, because
never, ever. You'll never be like the WCW US Revolution Radio. You'll never be gone and broke. And you'll never be Jared DiGirolamo. I have one more thing to say to you.
I miss Time Cow so much.
Oh, wow. He had enough of that. Wow, Time Cow. Where'd you come from?
That was like we was getting beaten down.
Impressive.
Way to make the save, Time Cow.
Yeah, you came back just in time. Apparently he's been hanging out with Malibu Kane.
Oh.
Yeah, he has some cool photos. He said he's going to post them on the Facebook later, so be sure to be looking for that. Now, you know, it's funny. They call out Cliff Clefton, but we have Cliff Clefton here on the radio. Why don't we go ahead and see if we got him here. Cliff, is that you there?
Oh, hello?
Hi, Cliff.
Hello.
Hi. So.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I received an emergency page from you.
Yeah, okay, so you know the number one suspect we had, Jeff, not Jeff John, whatever the hell his name was? Well, he showed up tonight, and it's funny because
I remember the man very well.
The first night that he shows up, Time Cow shows up again, too. Awfully suspicious, you'd have to say, yes?
Yes, that's a very peculiar revolt. You know, I'm thinking maybe it's not a coincidence at all. There's probably something going on there.
Hmm. Well, if you could hold on.
I'm going to have to look into this further.
We got one other suspect on the line here. Why don't we bring them on here? Caller from 412.
It is the silent wind of doom. I've been waiting to get my hands on him again.
412, are you live here?
Yes, this is David in Pittsburgh. How are you doing tonight?
David in Pittsburgh. How are you doing, David?
Mr. David.
Good, thanks. I'm a first-time caller, and out of Cincinnati, as Jeff Sean said earlier, however. And I can share my...
Wow. Time Cow was not having any of that one there.
Oh, now, Mr. David, are you sure that's your real name?
Oh, Time Cow had enough of him.
I don't know if that's the real David.
Will the real David please stand up?
Now, I don't know about you gentlemen, but that voice that we just heard there on that last call sounded rather familiar to me.
It did sound familiar.
I can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, let's see. We got another caller from 412. Let's see if what this one is here. 412, you're live on the Raw Post Show.
Yeah, this is David. You just hung up on me. It wasn't cool. I was trying to get my piece in, if you don't mind. However, I didn't really appreciate you hanging up on me there.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you could listen to my thoughts.
Sure.
Possibly. I was just going to say, however, what John said earlier, however, was the right thing, however, and he is a David being me, however. I have a friend, JD, however, who listens to your show, and he used to listen to you guys all the time. And he said, however, that he used to enjoy listening to you guys all the time, but you guys bailed on him like a Thanksgiving Japanese banquet, if you will. So I think he was right on what he said, and you guys better take his advice very well, however.
Well,
all right, now, Mr. David, what would you advise the next course of action be here, however?
The next course of action, however, is to apologize to both JD and John for what they did early in the past, however, and allow them to come back on Mega Powers Radio or make a formal apology on their own radio show if they have the guts to appear on their own radio show.
Oh.
All right, now I believe Mr. Powers is waiting for somebody to apologize for the death of the Time Cow. Isn't that correct, Mr. Powers?
Yeah, I mean, Time Cow was taken away from us for a long, long time, and the first night that you guys show up again... Time Cow's here. Awfully suspicious.
Well, Time Cow was with you guys before, and you guys had him basically cutting off JD and John before, however, and both my friend John and my friend JD did not appreciate the way you guys treated them very well, however, on your own show before.
Your friend JD and who?
All right, now, Mr. Powers.
My friend JD, however, they said, because I am friends with JD, however, and he told me to tell you guys tonight, if he spoke to you, however, that he did not find you guys very funny at all when you guys cut him off and yelled on his own segment, asked JD anything, however, and now that he is...
Are you sure that's all the howevers he said?
Excuse me?
Are you sure that's all the howevers he said?
All right. Now, Mr. Powers?
Yes?
Mr. Powers, may I cut in for a moment, please?
I
hate to complicate things any further, but have you entertained the possibility that maybe this Time Cow who appeared mysteriously tonight after mysteriously dying perhaps is not even the real Time Cow? Could that be an imposter cow?
And no.
I don't think Time Cow's ever steered us in the wrong direction.
Nice.
But my friend, Mr. Payton, Mr. Payton and them, I do have one thing to say, though. Along with your friend, Mr. Clayton, if I could answer your question for you, sir.
Clifton, not Clayton, but yes, go ahead.
Clifton, Mr. Clifton, Mr. Payton, and Mr. Mango, may I ask you guys one thing?
No.
All right, you know.
John C.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it's your worst nightmare, guys. It's your old friend, JD, from Pittsburgh. Just when you thought you guys could get rid of me, you guys fell for it again, hook, line, sinker.
Oh, that reveal.
As John told you before, we are the best show on U.S. Revolution Radio now. You guys treated us like crap, so now we got our own show, and now we are the new number one show.
All right, enough of that.
Now, guys, I was about as surprised as when John Cena wins a match.
Fuck, spoiler alert, guys. I hope you didn't fast forward too much into the show and find that out.
Fuck me.
Wow. Somewhere in all that confusion, I actually accidentally hung up on Mr. Cliff Clefton. I apologize, sir. All due respect. We definitely want to hear anything you have to say as far as your investigations you've gone on, but we are extremely happy to have Time Cow back here with us. He's definitely been coming in handy tonight. Welcome back, Time Cow. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Moo.
Hashtag SJD, do you have a Patreon? Hey, JD, do you have a Patreon? Oh, yeah, you can't answer because I cut your ass off the show, you jackass.
Wait. You cut JD off? I thought you caught some mysterious caller named David.
Sure, his name wasn't Rolo.
Oh, nobody's gonna get the context of this joke, but it's so good. It's so good.
So somehow we have another caller who hasn't hung up through all this craziness.
I apologize in advance. I don't know what the fuck just happened with those two retards.
I hope our next caller is just kind of like, so what do you guys think of the Dudley Boys win the title?
We got a caller from the 708 area code. Caller from 708. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dave from Chicago, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, Dave. How you doing tonight, man? What's on your mind?
Yeah, man. I got no idea what's going on for the last 10 minutes, but Ross coming to Chicago next week, and the last 2 weeks have just been horrible. And I'm just wondering, do you think they're going to do anything big next week where it's worth him to go?
You know, Chicago is one of their biggest markets, one of the biggest places they'll do a show. And it'll be New York City, and it'll be Chicago. And that crowd is a brutal crowd. So they'd be very silly not to have something awesome there. But I don't know. Tony, do you think they're going to be foolish enough to not pull up on that?
Let me just say two things real quick. First, thank you for being a good Dave. And second, thank you for taking the show back in the right direction. As far as the next week's show, I do think that they're going to put more effort into it. I think that this was kind of like they did the MSG show on Saturday. They've got TakeOver coming on Wednesday. They got a lot on their table, and they probably didn't want to put a whole lot of time into it. But next week, they'll have a little bit of a refresher. They'll have a hot crowd. I think that even if they don't put the effort into it, the fans will start forcing it to be a better show.
That's an interesting take on it.
Oh, yeah, that's a blast every time I go, like in Chicago, but... I read an article that Vince McMahon's back, like, micromanaging creative. So you think that's, like, a bad sign or a good sign? Or...
Vince McMahon has not had a very good track record lately as far as his creative influence. From anybody you hear, anybody who has worked on that team just says, oh, I have a good idea, until Vince gets his hands on it. Which is funny because it used to be the opposite. It used to be, like, Vince Russo had all these ideas, right, and you needed Vince McMahon to be that filter to decide what was good and bad. Especially when you have a team of so many people. Yeah, you got to have someone in charge. I just don't know if Vince is the right guy. But, Wago, since Tony got the last question, Wago, what do you got to say about that?
I think they'll bring a good show to Chicago, but...
The question about Vince.
Vince has always got the last say. I don't think it's made much of a difference than it has normally. The product's just stagnant. It's always stagnant this time of year. Come Royal Rumble time, we'll all be excited again, we'll all hate the Royal Rumble, and then we'll all complain about WrestleMania. But it'll somehow be better than what we've got now.
Dave, anything else on your mind?
And I got one question, like, you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just one thing, like, they to save, like, tonight's show, you know, since Brock Lesnar's there, and they're doing the same damn promo for the last, you know, 6 months, where Heyman just, you know, talks about Brock, you know, when Cena comes out for the Open Challenge, why isn't it just have Brock come out and destroy him, like, in 5 minutes. Like, that would be, you know, that would get something buzzing.
No lie, you know? There was a split second when Cena was putting out the Open Challenge where I was like, you know, they got Brock in the building. It's been a pretty quiet night. It would be nuts if that weird monster sound that Brock Lesnar's music starts off with just went off as John Cena had that Open Challenge and just went out there and just, you know, bloodied him up, threw him all around the ringside area, just destroyed him and took that title from him. And you want to talk about having that title mean something? You know, throwing that title into the Undertaker Brock Lesnar match, that would be an enormous amount of prestige added onto that title.
Also, if you want to put a title on a part time guy, that's the ideal guy to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, being in the US instead of the WWE, people aren't going to miss it as much.
Yeah. Dave, awesome questions you've been given tonight, man. Anything else on your mind?
Nah, that's pretty much it, man. Do you think Undertaker's going to show up next week? Because I've never seen him live.
That would be great, especially if you get to see an Undertaker entrance. There are few that are going to be left, so if you get the opportunity to get to see an Undertaker entrance live, it's worth going out of your way to do. So for your sake, I hope you get to see one. I think they would be smart to at least have him there, you know, do a promo or a face-to-face or some kind of pull-apart or something. As we've said a couple times in this call, that crowd is going to be on fire. So if you want to have a crowd going nuts while you have these guys being pulled apart, that's a night to do it. Anything else, fellas, you want to add?
Yeah,
I could see one of those Brock Lesnar promos just being interrupted by the lights out and Undertaker appearing behind them and then just having a wild brawl. But I don't expect you to get the full fireworks.
I think since we still have an extra week after that, we won't be seeing Undertaker unless he's some promo.
Some like pre-recorded thing.
Yeah, like, you know, not like live via satellite because they don't do that with The Undertaker, but like, you know, well, you just kind of cut to the back and he's got the smoke and does a generic kind of promo. And then they do another video package because they're video package crazy lately. So yeah. They probably will do another one.
You might get a sweet rest in peace line from 1997.
All right, Dave, before we let you go, man, we always like to ask our callers what their favorite part of the show tonight, what their least favorite part of the show tonight was.
Favorite part was New Day, I guess, main eventing. You know, Big E coming out like a monster, like he should be, since he's freaking 200 pounds, you know, big and black, so he should be pushed, you know. And the worst part of the show, I guess, was that Summer Rae and Rusev. I like Rusev, man, but they're just, they're not doing him no favors.
Do you think he's going to get gold?
I think what? gold?
Yeah, because that's kind of what they teased here. He said when he gets gold, Summer Rae will get gold around her finger.
Yeah, I doubt it. But hopefully, I don't know, man. They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball with Rusev already. I already look at him as a comedy jobber, but I don't know.
All right, Dave. Well, good call tonight, man. Always welcome to call in again. You have a good night, dude.
Yeah, man, I like your guys' show, man, so I keep listening every week. All right.
Appreciate it, man. All right, we'll catch you another time, man. Thanks, Dave. Moving things on here on the Raw Post Show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. See, we can actually have normal calls, too. We welcome them. We welcome people to give questions to us. We'll take you seriously.
We take normal calls from normal callers.
Yeah, except if you call in and you want to be a weirdo, we're going to get even weirder.
I don't even know how to describe that first phone call. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was somehow an amalgamation of like four or five phone calls, actually. But
yeah, like I could hear fucking TVs in the background. We're all trying to talk over each other. Most of it was negative towards whatever he was.
Was that kind of like our caller equivalent of a tag team turmoil match?
I think that was our caller equivalent of a reverse battle royal.
Instead of the monster giant, we had the monster tard, and then Time Cow came back for the save.
So good to have him back. So fellas, we're like an hour into the show and we've barely talked anything about Raw here, so I'm sure we can zip through the rest of these segments because I don't think we're gonna have too much to say on a lot of them.
Can we skip through too?
Skip and zip. Oh,
skip Sheffield.
Well, it'll be sunny days when we get to the end. All right, that joke was cloudy. We had the Wyatt family hit a six-man tag against Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Randy Orton. You know, a pay-per-view match that we should probably be having. But whatever, this was actually my favorite match of the night. A lot of fun throughout this, especially the ending. Roman Reigns getting the victory after a spear onto Luke Harper. He also gave him a badass powerbomb at one point through the whole sequence at the end here. I couldn't even try to list all the moves. It was just a lot of fun with these guys going back and forth over each other. Seeing Braun Strowman struggle to get Dean Ambrose over the outside guardrail. It was just a lot of fun. I said it like five times, but it's the only way I could use to describe this match. Fellas, what do you got to say about it?
It was definitely one of my high points of the night, and these guys went all out, and I've been down on the interactions of the random six-man tags. But it seems like we're going to get some finality in Hell in a Cell, so it did a good job to build that. Roman Reigns looked hella strong, and that powerbomb that he did, fucking awesome.
You know, I I don't want to like shit on this match because I don't have anything bad to say about it, except for that Strowman really does need to work on some stuff. Like if you try to catch somebody and you don't catch them, try to like make up for it a little bit better. You know, I can't do any better, of course, but when you do mistakes like that, it really shows. Like it stands out, and that's not going to help him. But I do agree with Wego. I think we're going to get some finality at Hell in a Cell, and good, because this feud's been going on for months and it's time for it to end. As far as the like quality of this kind of goes, it was fine. And I kind of agree with what you said. Like, we kind of look at this as like a pay-per-view match. It really probably should have just happened at Night of Champions instead of the Jericho thing.
No, we needed Jericho because surprises, yeah.
All going to get excited over like, oh, is it going to be Daniel Bryan? Is it going to be The Rock? Oh, it's Chris Jericho.
Cool. It's Chris Jericho. He's got another tattoo.
An old man skin.
A lot of old man skin.
Well, we had a match next between Neville and Sheamus with Wade Barrett on commentary, who barely even got to say anything because his match was like 5 seconds long. Wade Barrett goes to interfere. Sheamus hits a bro kick onto Neville, pins him after like 5 seconds. And that's the whole thing. Tony, you probably didn't even get a chance to tune out.
To tune out, not even to tune in. You know, Sheamus being in this is not actually my biggest disappointment with it.
Isn't that Neville looked like such a jackass?
No, it's not that either. Huh. It's that there's actually like definitive proof now that there is no babyface turn for Barrett.
That's actually a good point. I actually forgot that was a thing last week.
Because at the very beginning of this, when he was on commentary, he sort of teased that maybe there was still a chance. They asked him, like, well, you know, what were you doing last week? You made your return. And he said, yeah, I didn't really want to go out there and do anything against Neville, but he was just in the way. I needed to settle my score with Stardust. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, maybe we're going to see something where, like, Sheamus, I don't know, tries to cheat and Barrett knocks him out. And Neville's just like, what? And you sort of tease this idea where, like, he goes, yeah, you were in the way, and I kind of knocked you out and whatever like that. I'm sort of a prick, but I am a good guy, and you're an English guy, and I got some respect for you and whatever. But fuck Stardust and fuck Sheamus, and then we'd have, like, generic tag match between them or something like that. Maybe we'd get a babyface turn. But no, sadly, it just turns out that Wade Barrett has a thing against Neville now. You know. And Sheamus benefits?
Why does he have such a thing with fucking Neville?
Right, like, Neville didn't do anything, fucking Stardust did.
To be fair, he had beef with Neville before this. You remember he had, like, a 3-month-long feud with a guy?
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot that.
So, they fought in King of the Ring. It was kind of a every pre-show match for a while.
Is he still sour about that?
He's fucking British, we're sour about everything.
Yeah, that's true. Still sour about all that tea we cost you guys.
That's really, no one ever fucking talks about that.
Americans what? Do.
Yeah, I know you do.
We have Seth Rollins and Kane in the ring saying something, whatever the fuck it was they were talking about. Stephanie interrupts him and tells Kane that if Monster Kane, fucking Monster Kane can't beat Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell, then Corporate Kane will lose his job.
Oh, man, if Demon Kane gets involved now and interferes, it's going to be fucking awesome.
Well, that's their out right now.
Then Concessions be like, Kane, you know, is in the back, like, selling popcorn.
When it comes down to it, like, Seth Rollins will win, and then it'll be like, all right, well, you're no longer director of operations. And he'll be like, no. Stephanie said if Monster Kane lost, Demon Kane's the one who lost.
Wouldn't it be great if it was all just, like, building to this one moment where there are all these different Kanes and it's just been a huge work the whole time?
Like, five of them walk out at the same time, like, oh, what are you guys all talking about? We're all different people.
Hey, what's up, Kane? Hey, what's up, Kane? Hey, Kane.
Be the greatest work in pro wrestling history.
Hey, David.
Hey, Undertaker Kane.
I'm Kane with a cape.
We had actually a couple Divas matches tonight. This was our first one, Natalya versus Paige. And hello, Natalya. Interesting outfit she had on tonight. Looked like if you sneeze, you probably could have knocked her zipper down enough for her girls to pop out. Natalya able to get the victory in this match with a sharpshooter. Odd, you think they would have built this match up a little bit more considering how they've been teasing it for the last like 3 weeks, but whatever. Doesn't fucking matter. What do you guys got anything to add?
Wasn't a bad match. Surprised that Natalya got the win, and why didn't a fan jump over the barricade and pull her zipper down? Like, you jump over just to stand next to a bunch of sweaty, ugly guys. Fucking jump over there and pull a goddamn zipper down. I want to see it. I think it'll be more comical than anything, but I want to see it.
That would be horrifying for Natalya.
She had a fart gimmick.
She's not going to just laugh it off.
She had a fart gimmick. She could survive this.
She just goes like, oh, well, you know our fans.
The WWE Universe is just so amazing.
Actually, if anyone was going to do that, she would. She comes off like the biggest pushover in the company.
Actually, she kind of does.
Just gets to work one day. So, Natalya, you're taking care of Kali now.
Oh, I am? Well, thank you for the opportunity, Vince.
All right. Kali was working out. I got a new idea. Oh, what? You're going to shit your pants.
Kali. Say
Kali.
Say Ka.
Ka.
Lee.
Lee.
Kali.
Hoof whip.
Kevin Owens versus Sin Cara and what our good friend Sean called a squash match. I don't know if I necessarily would call it that. It's not like he just went in there and pounced him and hit him with a finisher. Like, Sin Cara got a little bit of offense in here. There was a little bit of time put to this. You know, they don't want to make Sin Cara look like a total jabroni. He's got to, you know, get that big feud with Cosmic Wasteland going on, which wasn't anywhere on the show.
I tell you what, though, Sin Cara put up more of a fight than I thought he would have.
Absolutely. That's why I'm saying that I wouldn't necessarily call this a jobber match. But Owens did win. You know, I don't think there was any doubt that Owens was going to win. After his match, he attacks Kalisto, goes for the powerbomb on the ring apron, which I kind of realized that he hasn't really done too much on the main roster. So I don't know if that's really well established. I think he did it once to John Cena and barely even sold it. So I don't know if it's really as vicious for the people who haven't seen him do that at NXT. They need to do something about that. And Sin Cara probably would have been a good sacrifice. He never gets to do it, though. Ryback comes out, chases Owens away as he grabs his belt and leaves through the crowd. Cowardly heel.
Yep. I've got nothing bad to say about this. This was done perfectly.
I don't really have anything bad to say about it either. I know I said that like I didn't love a lot of stuff tonight or whatever. This is like one of those segments where, yeah, that works. I mean, you have Kevin Owens look strong against somebody who he can beat. You have Ryback come out, try to, like, stop him from being a total douche because he's attacking another guy who doesn't deserve it. And Kevin Owens is the heel, so he just backs away. And, you know, this doesn't build it up a lot. You know, it doesn't make me go like, oh, man, I didn't want to see this before, but now I do because I was interested before. But it didn't hurt anything against it, so this is a good type of stall.
And you know what? It was a fresh match.
Yeah, yep. That's more
important. That helped it a lot. And this is one of the most basic wrestling angles, like, ever. It's always worked. It's typical good guy versus bad guy shit.
Mm-hmm.
People forget this shit works.
The only person who doesn't forget is Kevin Owens. This dude, like, just keeps bringing back all this generic, basic stuff that works, and he makes it work every single time.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's like, so why don't we do this anymore? Because Vince says not to. But it works.
And Kevin Owens is just kind of like, mind if I try that? And they're like, okay. And then everybody's just like, oh, this is fucking good.
Oh, that shit that worked back in the 90s still works? Oh, okay.
So you know how, like, CM Punk came in and he kind of, like, convinced all the powers that be to start investing in indie talent and they started getting this huge influx of all these indie guys? Do you think maybe Kevin Owens is convincing them that fat people can do stuff? So that's why they got like Samoa Joe and they're going to start looking like at a whole bunch. Maybe they'll like re-sign Chris Hero finally.
Or Braden Walker.
Yeah. Okay. Who said it? Time for our game of Who Said It, where I read a line that was spoken on tonight's edition of Raw and you guys tell me who said it.
Jackal?
No. I will send you someplace that makes Suplex City look like Disneyland.
Stephanie McMahon.
Stephanie.
Yes. Stephanie McMahon was backstage playing on her BlackBerry. New Day approaches her and is doing their usual New Day shtick, wanting to have a good time, playing the trombone, joking around. But Stephanie is having none of that. She's not in a good mood. She tells him that she's busy. New Day still just cannot get the hint. So Stephanie shows her claws, tells New Day that they will be defending their titles at Hell in a Cell against the Dudley Boys. And just completely shot them down with that one line and saying, like, oh, why don't you find the positivity in that? And New Day's just like, oh, we just wanted to play your song. What the crap?
That was like an oddly, like, I don't know. Stephanie's been like a babyface kind of tonight. And her bitchiness showed in that. It was just kind of like, hey, Steph, how's it going? Shut the fuck up. Like, well, okay. New Day's all positive. They got a fucking trombone. And she's just like, no, 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 no. Leave.
Oh, do you want that damn trombone playing right in your face?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's New Day. I think I'd probably get behind it.
Hey, Stephanie. Die. Well, I wish you wouldn't flip-flop between the two. I'd rather them just stick to one or the other, but it is what it is.
So this next segment, this was fun. Susan G. Komen somehow is still getting the nod from WWE. We just spent a whole month with this whole Cure for Connor shit. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it like that, but you know, I thought the whole reason they did that is because they wanted to get away from Susan G. Komen and have their own cause that they were going to spend a month for. But no, we're going to have two successive months of this now. Fucking. Wait. What?
Isn't it weird that TNA can't get any kind of partners whatsoever and WWE can get two cancer partners so easily?
Well, one of them they made themselves.
And TNA is cancer.
And the other one. Oh my gosh, Susan G. Komen is one of the worst companies they could partner with to do this. And how they have let their relationship with them have gone this long. Because it's not even like it's a secret. It's like well known and well publicized how corrupt Susan G. Komen is. And they trot out these breast cancer survivors, acting like they're doing such a great thing for these people. Barely any of the money goes to that. Don't buy those stupid ugly ass t-shirts they have on WWEshop.com.
It's all going to the COs.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Fuck, hell.
And it's well documented. I mean, don't take our fucking word for it. Go out and search. It's all over the internet. It's been proven. They're a dirty fucking company. There's plenty of places where you can donate money and it actually means something. But you're just pissing it all away for some guy's salary if you donate a dime there.
And of course, they got to put out their two biggest poster boys they want to have right now, John Cena and Roman Reigns. And Cena even guilts the crowd, like, right at the beginning. He's like, oh, hold off, guys. You'll have time to tell me what you think of me later. This is about them. Which at least, if I could give props to one thing, the crowd was very respectful to the ladies, of course, and even to John Cena and Roman while they said their bits. And I'll even say, Roman didn't do bad.
I actually was about to say that. He did his part tonight, and he played it pretty goddamn well.
Yeah. Roman's going to do just fine filling that role after Cena's gone. This is
yeah, as soon as all these fucking smarky ass fans get over themselves.
I haven't looked, but I can't even imagine the comments that probably went down after this segment was done.
Yeah, I know. Fucking, I don't get the Roman hate. I don't think I ever will. He's a very talented guy that's only getting better.
This was the part of the night where I really took notice to the fact that everything was a commercial. And I've said many, many times before on many different platforms that I'm going to sound like a total asshole here. Oh, I know it, so I'm going to preface it. I do not think almost anything that anybody does when it comes to promoting any kind of awareness matters. I think it's terrible that these diseases are out there, or these, like, you know, when you deal with like a charity run for homelessness or something like that or whatever. It's like, I appreciate that people are trying to fix these problems, but I think that they're going about it in the completely wrong way. And it's this mentality that we have where we could go into huge, huge, long rants about it. So I want to try to keep it short, but like this kind of PC, I want to feel better about myself rather than actually accomplish something culture that we have. And I look at something like this Susan G. Komen thing, and we were just talking about how if this organization is corrupt and stuff, well, then your money is better served donating it to a different company. And then you can argue in the whole fact, like, well, if certain companies are tied in with other companies that don't want to do certain way things a certain way or something like that, then that can end up being something that gets in the way, and then your money just sort of funnels down into nothing and whatever. I appreciate everything WWE does to try to help out anybody, if it's the reading challenges or the be a star thing or going to different countries and saying like, well, these people have a shitty water situation or whatever. Awesome. I wish we could get rid of all those problems.
Did they really do that? Is go to other countries like, you guys have some shitty water.
I don't know. Dolph Ziggler was in Singapore the other day. I don't know what the hell he did.
Like, I think they would send Bully Ryback to do. It's like, yo, the fuck's up with your water here? You guys got any salads?
But when you put something like this on TV and it's supposed to just go like, hey, everybody, look at all these breast cancer survivors and stuff. Isn't that fantastic that they got, you know, they got over it and stuff? Yeah, fantastic, awesome, you know, great for you and all that other kind of stuff like that. But I'm not going to be able to do anything. John Cena coming out and cutting a promo is not going to do anything. It all falls on the people that run these medical corporations and stuff like that. And I think that stuff like this is just kind of jerking yourself off. So when WWE runs through an entire show where I feel like the whole thing's promoting stuff and whatever, and then they cut to a thing like this and it's essentially uselessly promoting something, I can't get into it. And that's when I was just like, oh, okay, fuck. We're going to do this for the next month. Ugh.
The chat room was going on about how bullshit it is to bring up the ice bucket challenge. Now, listen, the ice bucket challenge actually, after the numbers were all calculated, actually ended up being shown as something positive and did help raise money for a decent charity. Mm-hmm. So you can't really shit on it too much. At the very least, it was harmless fun. Right, Wago? Because yeah, you did it.
Yeah, I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying I'm not doing it again. Shit was cold.
Shit was cold. But you know what? That might even actually have been better served for that, because it wasn't as big of like a cause, you know? Like, if you do like a big charity thing for like a local person, you tend to get a lot of stuff accomplished. Where if you do something for a little known cause and you get some awareness out there and whatever, then maybe people do start paying more attention to it. Something like breast cancer is fucking huge. There's a lot of people that are getting their fingers dirty with this kind of thing.
I actually saw some fucking dumbasses posting about how it's sexist.
What?
It's sexist, like that cancer can kill all fucking sexes, and it's these fucking feminazis are like, why are they fucking singling out the females? You know, we should all be treated equally. It should just be against cancer, not just against the cancer that affects the women's boobs.
Well, here's the thing. There's an education missing about breast cancer, because it affects men too. And the reason that's around is because a lot of women do post stuff along the lines of, pink is for breast cancer, but don't tell the men. I was like, fuck you. Men get it too, assholes.
Yeah, and like, you think it's like hard enough for men to admit getting breast cancer? And then they gotta put this pink fucking ribbon on? You know, I really don't want to shit on this, because maybe their intentions are good, and I'm sure a lot of these wrestlers are proud to play a part in this and, you know, talk to these cancer survivors and pass all the positive vibes on them they can. I think that's all great. I just wish they would find a better partnership. That's all.
Right.
Like anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at some of the other things that they've done, I don't know. I kind of think like the Make-A-Wish stuff matters more.
Yeah.
Like their influence is more on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
John Cena meeting a kid for a Make-A-Wish thing, that could make that kid's year, make the kid's whole rest of his life. But what's WWE really going to do when it comes to breast cancer? They're going to sell you some t-shirts and that money's going to trickle down a big corporation? Well, if you really, really want to give to Susan G. Komen or to a different whatever like that, don't buy the t-shirt. Just give them money.
When it comes down to it, all of this, it doesn't mean anything to the WWE other than good PR. And I'm perfectly okay with that, because I'd do it too if I was in their position.
This is true. This is true. And in the end, it's also making money for two companies, because you got to imagine they probably split whatever's made on those shirts. So whatever tiny amount gets to Susan G. Komen, then imagine how much of that tiny cut actually gets to cancer. You're probably seeing like 15 cents for every t-shirt going towards cancer research.
If that.
Now, I'm going to just throw another thing out here that people are going to be like, oh, you jerk. What if they had the balls to have a heel come out during this?
Not in this day and age, man.
They never know.
Yeah, the world's gone too PC. As South Park says, we got like another 6 years of this shit.
But at the very least, like if you were just thinking about it in this like fantasy booking scenario, whatever, imagine the heat. That guy would be set. Just one promo.
Kevin Owens can do it. It's the only person I could see.
I wouldn't even do it during the cancer one. I'd do it during a Make-A-Wish Kids, like,
segment. You have attacked the Make-A-Wish Kid?
Oh,
you know what I just got a picture of? Well, I couldn't find cancer, but I found someone with cancer.
Oh, is that Wade Barrett doing that then?
Don't you remember Russell Crowe fighting around the world?
No, I know. I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, well, he could do that, couldn't he? Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the debut of Tug of the Tug Boat Boat?
Yeah, it's all coming together. All right, let's get off this cancer.
Yeah, let's please.
We had a tag match between the Dudley Boys and Kane and Seth Rollins teaming together. You know what I liked what they did here is that they're making a follow-up of something that happened on SmackDown, and it's not like just a carbon copy of it because it's a progression of what they did. On SmackDown, they had Kane and Seth Rollins teaming together. Kane gets hurt during the match and has to go to the back as Corporate Kane. And then later in the match, comes back out as Demon Kane to attack Seth Rollins. Tonight, Seth Rollins remembers what happened, handcuffs Kane to the ropes to try to prevent him. So it's a little bit of a progression on it. But unfortunately, it's not enough to hold Kane back. Kane eventually gets knocked off. It breaks the handcuff. Kane gets taken to the back. Seth gets left to face the Dudley Boys alone. They go to bring out a table. Seth kicks the table into them for the DQ. And then Demon Kane does eventually come out and chokeslam Seth through a table. Fellas, does it do anything for you?
It doesn't offend me. It didn't entertain me. It's there. It's a filler segment for what's going to be a filler match.
For the world title.
Yep.
You know, I think I would have enjoyed this a lot more if it would have been Monster Kane. I think he would have done a better job.
I'm starting to think about this Hell in a Cell card, and I can't think of any major matches other than Brock and Undertaker.
You know, well, there's the Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns Hell in a Cell match.
That's going to be pretty cool. I've been liking a lot of what they've been doing the last few weeks.
So probably be the more vicious one.
Cena normally has more direction by this point, but maybe they're going with the New Day for Hell in a Cell.
Well, I'm thinking that he's going to do an open challenge that night. And I think that'll be the night he loses it.
New Day's got Dudley Boys.
Yeah, but that's still only going to be a tag match.
Is Rusev and Dolph wrestling at the next pay-per-view?
I mean, I would assume so.
Because if not, Dolph could...
They've wrestled in every single fucking other one.
Because if Dolph, like, is done with him, he could always actually do his... accept the open challenge and get it this time.
I think that's where they're going.
And they've been teasing that... fucking Dirty's been teasing that the two are going to go at it because of some... Total Divas segment.
Well, you know why they would definitely give Dolph the belt? Because Drew just dropped him off his fantasy league team. We had a Divas 6-person tag match between Team Bella and Team Bad. Now that we've had the implosion of Team PCB, we get to have the other two teams facing off against each other. Sasha Banks, by far the star of this segment. The crowd was just cheering for her the whole time. Matter of fact, before the match, they even had a little bit of a promo from the Bellas where they made a quip about how no one is cheering "We want Naomi" or anything like that. That's true, but Team Bad didn't really seem to let it affect them too much. They were strong tonight. Sasha Banks getting the victory with the bank statement. Whatever. Cool. I think they need to come up with a better reason for this feud to happen than because Sasha Banks threw Nikki's hat or whatever the fuck it was that went on during that segment. But the match quality should be good. So I look forward to the next few matches we should be getting.
I'm just sick and tired of this fucking click bullshit. I just want to see women in singles matches. Just give me one good 15-minute match each week and start building your division because it's still in shambles. It's gotten better, but not by much. And I'm glad that Sasha got to look strong tonight because I think they've been misusing her.
Very happy that Sasha got that little bit of a rub tonight. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, Wigo. Like, if you cut down on the click stuff and try to, like, avoid having to set up some kind of a feud, maybe just put Sasha in somebody who she works well with in a match, and maybe that kind of just does the trick. Good matches are going to get good publicity. Just look at what happened with Sasha and Bayley, and what's probably going to happen on Wednesday with Sasha and Bayley. Those two having just a regular singles match with a very basic feud. I mean, it's, I got a title shot, then I beat you. Here's my rematch. I'm going to win it back. And that's probably going to end up going down as the two best matches for the entire Divas pantheon or whatever of the past 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And they didn't have to put a lot of effort into it because those two were just good. So, you know, knock Alicia Fox out, get rid of the Team Bella thing. We already have this Team PCB split stuff. Becky Lynch isn't doing a goddamn thing. I mean, they cut a promo tonight with Charlotte and Becky backstage with Renee Young. Renee's like, hey, Charlotte, what do you think? And Charlotte's like, I don't know, woo. And Becky Lynch just basically stood there and then just
That's
went like,
so
oh, we're leaving.
That's so fucking accurate. All right, so Charlotte, what do you think about your upcoming match? Woo. All right, thank you. Back to you at ringside.
Becky, do you have anything to say? Nah. Team Woo and nah.
Well, all right.
Shit, this should have been called Team Woo. It would have made more fucking sense.
All right, fellas, I saved the best for last. Summer Rae, Rusev are out in the ring. I don't remember why they were in the ring. Did Rusev have a match?
Nope.
No, so they were just out there just to fucking talk for no damn reason. Summer Rae ends up proposing to Rusev, gets down on one knee, pulls out this giant, ugly-ass ring, asks him to marry her. He says yes, but not yet. He must first get gold around his waist, and then she will get gold around her finger. Interesting. I just hope this doesn't mean something continuing with Dolph Ziggler. But we shall see. We've talked about this briefly throughout the night, but fellas, do you think this could really well mean that we will see gold around Rusev's waist soon?
I don't know about gold around his waist, but fuck me, I wanted to just take a shit during this segment. It was fucking abysmal. I was looking for any excuse to get out of the room. Jesus Christ, who's booking this shit?
Freddie Prinze Jr.
I mean, I know Drew enjoyed this, but this just seemed like absolute wrestle crap. It was bad acting at its worst, with no real direction. I mean, is anyone really looking forward to seeing these two get married on Raw?
Yeah. I want to see a Bulgarian wedding.
I don't, because it's going to be the typical bullshit of someone interferes, as a brawl, and I just wasted 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know it's going to be Lana who interrupts.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna trump and she's gonna have like a video of like Summer banging Dolph, and that's gonna be the big babyface turn for Rusev and Lana as they reunite and kiss and get married.
I'm just fucking so done with this feud.
So done?
So done.
Soda soap bun? Don't need anything to add?
No, god damn it. Just god damn it. I've wanted this feud to end for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now they just flat out said it's continuing at least until Hell in a Cell, if not longer. I hate wedding things. I hate everything about this. That video package was garbage. I didn't find it funny at all. I don't want to see Rusev win any titles. I don't want to see him feud with Ziggler anymore. I don't want to see Lana come back. I don't want to see Lana come back and go with Rusev. I don't want to see Lana come back and still feud with Rusev. I don't want to see Summer Rae wearing that outfit anymore, even though she looks good at it, just because it's reminding me of this goddamn feud. Like, I'm just done. I'm not putting any more effort into this fucking feud.
Anybody have any effort they want to put into this feud? Chat room's just making jokes. Wazili saying, rue, rue, rue your boat. Wazili saying, Summer should rue instead of woo.
The only thing that was worse than the mic work between these two tonight and whatever garbage verbiage was written was the video packages. Ugh. Jesus Christ.
I know Tony had a problem with the video packages.
Very much so.
Well, all right, folks. We have hit the end of all the things about Raw, but the show and the fun is not done here on the Raw Post Show. Still time to get your voice heard if you want to dial in or drop any comments in the chat room. In the meantime, we're going to take care of some of our other bits of business here. We're going to play our big game for tonight, and I'm going to bring back Under the Hood, because hopefully maybe we can play it correctly tonight if Tony can understand the rules.
European Championship.
So,
Light Hewitt.
To go again. Over the rules, so the listeners out there, if you're hearing this for the first time, Under the Hood, the way this game works is I'm going to give a topic, and all the players here are going to type out into our Skype chat, which means only the chat that we see here, as many examples of that as they can. And the idea is that you want to have as many unique examples. That's how you get a point for this, is having as many unique examples, so one that the other person does not have. And you have 10 seconds to do it, so you know you don't have a lot of time to get them in there. You want to get it as much as you can. You have different ways you could go about this. You could try to go for the obvious ones, hoping the other person doesn't go for those, or you could try to go as obscure as possible, but you might rack your brain. There's different strategies to this. So let's see how these hosts go about this, because the loser is going to have to read the plugs tonight in a matter of the winner's choosing. So, fellas, ready for Under the Hood? Yes.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Since it is October, and we are going into Hell in a Cell with The Undertaker, our Under the Hood topic for tonight is mystical gimmick wrestlers. 10 seconds on the clock. Go.
This video will be taken down from YouTube because I'm singing this song.
10 seconds is up. Enter your stuff.
Damn.
All right. Tony Mango has Kane, Undertaker, Papa Shango, and Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, I would say all of those are good examples there. But let's see what Wago has. Papa Shango, Gangrel, Your Mom, I Don't Fucking Know, Bray Wyatt. Huh. So I'm not going to give you any credit for Your Mom or I Don't Fucking Know. But I'll give you Gangrel and Bray Wyatt. That's two. Papa Shango, you both have. Tony has Kane, Undertaker, and Ultimate Warrior for three. Tony was lost, so I think like the last 3 weeks, finally taking victory here again.
Wait, Ultimate Warrior is mythical?
I would say so. He's from another...
Parts Unknown?
Yeah, Parts Unknown.
Oh, yeah.
He was able to foretell his death.
He uses the rocket fuel and all that shit. He definitely foretold his death. That was fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would allow Ultimate Warrior.
Fair enough.
So, Tony, you get to choose how Wago reads the plugs in tonight. Chat room, you get to choose how you are. You might get to give suggestions for how Tony will choose how he does that. So if you have any cool ideas, drop them in the chat room and perhaps Tony will pick yours. In the meantime, we're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we're going to talk about what the best part of tonight's show, the worst part, and the most embarrassing, god-awful part of the show, which should have some interesting choices for tonight. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, drop it in the chat room as well, and we'll read it after we read ours. Coming up. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's see what our hosts here have as their good, bad, and ugly. Wago, what's yours?
So my good has to go to the New Day because they were fucking awesome tonight. For the bad, 77 million Neville matches against King Barrett.
Ugh.
I'm not looking forward to that feud continuing. And the ugly, Rusev, Renee Young? Wow. Other blonde, Summer Rae. They're all the same. Fucking terrible tonight. Go off my TV. This is the stuff that I'm embarrassed to show to someone who's not seen wrestling before.
Tony, this should be an interesting one. What's your good, bad, and ugly?
Originally, my good was going to be how they used the Inception Bwong in the opening video package. Because every time that they cut to something, it was that Bwong kind of thing. But I ended up going to the New Day because they were the saviors for the show. the bad is going to have to go to just the general atmosphere of commercials in a lot of different ways. And I actually ended up starting to write down stuff about the commercials that happen outside of Raw throughout the night, like Stephanie Shostak is hot from that Satisfaction show, that there was some commercial for something that said all that in a bag of chips, which made me wonder how that phrase got started. Like, how did chips get involved? I hate that fucking commercial, that dog with the cast and the guy puts it in the baby carrier. It's got that annoying song in the background. And speaking of annoying songs, that fucking anti-smoking commercial. Oh, God, that dubstep, Let Me See You Do It, Angry Bulbasaur, Kevin Owens theme or something.
I thought that was Blake and Murphy coming out.
Maybe. I don't know. It's garbage. I hate it so much. But I also hated how they did, like, even just like the cheap pop, hey guys, local sports teams, huh? You guys are from Boston, right? Well, guess what? Boston! Ah! Like, you know, just, it felt like everything was an advertisement for something, and I hated that so much. I actually muted my TV for part of the episode just because I didn't feel like listening to people shout shit at me anymore. Of course, that ended up happening tonight with one of our callers, but the ugly is going to go to that Ruru video package. Like Wago said, that's the type of stuff that I'm embarrassed to show people. And if I were to, like, you know, show somebody like I'm trying to impress or something, it's like, what are you into? Well, I'm into pro wrestling stuff or whatever. Oh, we'll watch it sometime. And if we would have watched this episode, I'd have been like, no, I see, I'm not into this part. No, I'm not. Please don't.
No, I was switching to something else, anything else. Yes, Donald Trump.
No, I was just leaving this on so we could watch Chrisley Knows Best afterwards.
Yeah.
All right, we had an awesome piano man drop one earlier. He said the good, the new day, the bad, the proposal, and the ugly. Not Jeff. Pretty accurate there.
Yeah, pretty fucking accurate.
For myself, I'm going to say good and make it unanimous with the new day. My bad, I'm going to give to Neville, looking like a complete jabroni tonight. And the ugly, I am also going to give to that whole Rusev Summer Rae segment. What a fucking abysmal mess. With that, all I think left here is for Wago to read our plugs, but Tony has to tell us how he's going to do it.
So my favorite suggestion from the audience that we had here, do it like David from Pittsburgh.
I already did it like JD from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, that's not the same person.
Yeah, it's not the same person at all. You got to do it like David.
You just say however a little more. Sure, if that's what you want.
Go for it.
All right. Hey, I'm just calling in on behalf of my friend, JD, however, and he wanted to let you know that there's a great website called StephenWago.com, however, and you can find out everything that Stephen Wago's doing by going to StephenWago.com, however, but if you don't want to be a couple of butt boys, you should check out SmartCatMoment.com, however, and check out the Smack Talk podcast, or just join us here weekly for the post-Raw show, however, and donate to our Patreon, or you'll die of ass cancer, however.
You definitely want to avoid that ass cancer, so give generously to the Patreon account of Mega Powers Radio. Join us live here every single Monday following Raw. Find us on SmartCatMoment.com to find our links to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. We are pretty much everywhere podcasts can be found. We appreciate all y'all tuning in for all the nutso antics we've had here live on the Raw Post Show at Mega Powers Radio. For Tony Mago, for Stephen Wago, my name is Mike Payton. We're Time Cow, too. Welcome back, buddy. Why don't you count us out?